Good morning, Sycamore Creek. My name is John, and I am excited to hear to give the message to you this morning. I think this needs to be said, though, first. Wasn't the band amazing this morning? Can we give it up for them real quick? They were fantastic. I want to start off by giving you a bit of a scenario here, if you will. So let's imagine, I can't imagine this will be much of a stretch, but let's picture we've had a rough week. Okay, so let's imagine like our boss was a jerk to you, you know, your car started to break down. Stop that. Your boss was a jerk, your car started to break down, your kids are unruly. I mean, it is the Christmas and New Year's season, everything was a little bit hectic, your schedule's out of whack, whatever it might be. But you've had a rough week. And you come into church, and you want all the stresses to kind of melt away, but as you walk in, everyone can just see it on you. You're wearing it. You ever heard that expression? Like you're wearing it, right? And it's in the way you take your coat off and you go hang it up and you're zombifyingly go and get your coffee ready. And someone sees it, right? And those people tend to like pick you out and you start to just blurt out everything that's going on with your life. And after you're done, that person grabs you by the shoulder, looks you deep in your eyes, and says, I know you feel like you've been going through a lot lately, and I'm so sorry to hear that. But when God closes a door, he opens a window. God won't give you more than you can handle. Thanks for playing along, Jim. It sounds rather absurd, right? So we're starting this series today about just some of these sayings that have no real biblical merit to them. We're going to dissect that a little bit today. I think if we go around the room here and everyone starts, I don't want you to, don't get me wrong, start thinking about all the stresses and problems in your life, it can be very easy to start to get overwhelmed, like it's too much. I'm a little bit overwhelmed giving my first sermon today, I'm not going to lie to you. But we're here doing it, right? I'm wearing it. It'd be easy to start to think about those problems and get overwhelmed, get stressed, feel like you can't handle this. And there's several figures in the Bible when we look at it that felt exactly the same way. When we look at Judges, at Gideon, God called down to Gideon, said, raise an army against the Midianites, the newest army in town. He said, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family. I can't handle this, right? And we look at Moses, right? When he came across the burning bush, God's presence inside of it, he gave several reasons, examples, excuses as to why he couldn't handle it. And every time he gave an excuse, God would try to comfort him. God, I don't think they're going to listen to me. I'll be there with you. It's okay. But I'm not a good speaker. It's all right. My words are going to flow through you. But I can't lead people. I can't do this. No, it's okay. I got this. Every time he came up with some kind of excuse. And at the end of it all, he said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I can't handle this. But no, really, I can't do it. When we look after the Last Supper, with Jesus even, after the Last Supper, he went to Mount Gethsemane to pray. And we look at Mark 14. Well, there's Jesus. Very, very wonderful picture of Jesus there. When we look at the scripture, he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. If Jesus, Son of God, man, God made flesh, Lamb of God, the way, the truth, and the life, felt overwhelmed and was allowed to feel that way by God, that he couldn't handle what he'd been given, it sounds rather absurd when we try to comfort each other in a different way, doesn't it? So this has to come from somewhere, right? Some sort of twisting of words or misunderstandings of some kind. And I think when we look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out. God will also provide a way out. And I like to dissect a little bit on this. What he says is, but when you are tempted, right, you're going to be tempted. That's just how it is. And God knows, with our very poor track record of giving in to temptation, he will provide a way out. And there's a beauty to that. We just kicked off a new year, and I'd like to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions. A popular one that I've seen and I've done myself, not this year, but last year, was, I'm continuing, is going to the gym. Anybody out there have seen people have done it themselves, going to the gym? Oh, don't be shy. Come on. All right, cool. So I found myself back in the gym January 2nd, 2019, off to a great start, January 2nd, but... Nice, missed a day. Great. I found myself in a position where I wasn't so sure what I was doing, and I walk into the gym, and there's people in there. I mean, they have their routines. They got their big old headphones on, big weights on their... I saw one guy doing pull-ups with this contraption around his waist and a 35-pound weight hanging off of it.
Oh.
What? Now, why am I telling you that? Because it can be tempting to then take on more than I can bear. And then I can end up a little bit like that. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he does either. And what you don't see is all the people kind of snickering around. This wasn't taken by a buddy. And then we look at this next one here. That's... If anyone knows how to do a squat properly, that's not it. And when we look at something like this, where we put a little too much on the bar, it can crush you. It can hurt. It can weigh you down. I think life can be like that sometimes, where the weight of life's troubles just start to bear on your chest. Everything starts to be there. And if you try to do it by yourself, you try to go it alone, can crush you. Can crush you. So, that being said, if we hit the spiritual gym, see what I did there? If we go to church, we pray, we go to small groups, things like that, it's a little easier then to help lift those troubles off of you than if you haven't been to the spiritual gym in years. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're never, ever going to experience problems if you go to the spiritual gym. That's not it. That's not what I'm saying at all. But with God's help, you can get through it. And I think we can dive into a discussion of God's sovereignty. If he knows about this stuff, he could just swoop in and take care of it. And I am not going to do that today. That is way above my pay grade. Tom, on the other hand... is open to that discussion. Maybe. So when we look at this, there are two main reasons why God will give us more than we can handle. Whoops. The first reason is so we can depend on God's presence. When we turn to the Bible, we look at the story of Jonah. And if you know about the story of Jonah, he was commissioned to go preach, and he didn't want to do it. He was running away from his problems, and one thing led to another. He gets swallowed by a whale. These things happen. But while he... let you marinate in that one for a while. And when we think about what Jonah did while he was in the whale, he turned to God, right? He was in the whale and he prayed. And what he said was, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and the Lord answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you." I want to think about that bench pressing thing we had there. Let's see if I can get back to it. No. Come on. There you are. So when you're in this situation, I hope you don't, but if you ever end up in that situation, what are you going to do? Any ideas? You're going to yell, die? No. You're going to call for help, right? You're going to kick and scream. Your face is going to turn red. You're going to call for help. Or you're going to hope that someone comes to get you. Comes to spot you. Does anybody know what a spotter is? Someone that helps you through it. Someone that helps you get the weight up. I think when we talk about this, God can be our spotter, right? When we talk about hitting the spiritual gym, he's not going to do the work for you. God's not going to do the work for you. God's going to help you through it. God's going to help you lift those weights. God's not going to do it for you. Now, with my poor planning, I'm going to have to go through a couple slides here. So here we go. Depending on the presence, Jonah. I like to think of that. Whoop, no, go back. No, come on. I mashed the button too many times, Tom. I like to think of it this way. I that'd be a really cool like bumper sticker, right? Jesus, my spotter. That, or a tattoo or a shirt. Take orders for shirts. That'd be really cool. And like I said earlier, it's not that you're not going to experience problems if you rely on Jesus, if you hit the spiritual gym, things like that. That's not what I'm saying. Everyone goes through their mountains and their valleys. When you're at your valleys, though, I feel like is when you experience God the most. Because when we're at our mountaintops, when we're at our peaks, normally I find that we go, God, you could sit this one out. I got this. I got this. It's everything's fine. But when we end up in those valleys again, what do? Call for help. I can't handle this. I can't do this. Life is like that. And I think Psalms 20, I think this is a pretty common verse, but Psalms 23:4 sums it up best. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Despite what you have going on in your life, despite the demons, despite the darkness, whatever it might be, God will be there with you. I've had my valleys. One in particular, the worst one I've ever been in, was October 2016. Carola, my wife and I, we were married for about 4 months at that time. She just got a job here at Sycamore Creek. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember what your title was at the beginning. She's had like four job changes through here, so I have no idea. Our daughter, Talia, she was 2.5 at the time. Yeah, sure. 2.5 at the time. And we were just buying the house. We were just signing on a new house. And then we found out we were pregnant. So everything started on this mountaintop. Everything seemed great. And then, not so much. Everything started going downhill rather quickly. Carol got very sick during the pregnancy. Can you tell people the name of that sickness, please? I can't pronounce that. It's a terrible illness. We end up going in and out of hospitals, in and out of infusion centers. She was basically incapacitated for most of the pregnancy. I found myself having to go bounce between work to home, home to work, home to infusion center back to work. A little bit hectic. I had to make sure there was a babysitter or someone just to be there and watch as Carola was stricken by this awful illness, and doctors didn't know what was going on, at least the ones we went to. And all through that, I'm trying to move into a new house as well, and we had this great idea of replacing our floors. So I'm doing that meanwhile too, and then finally comes the time where we got to move into the house, and I'm that person for a second because I said, hey, come help me move. And then as soon as people got there, I was like, I need help packing too. So I'd like to say I'm sorry, but I'm not. And by the time we got everything into the house, then I had to go back and clean the old house. So, you know, by the time all was said and done, I was just exhausted and downtrodden and in a very deep and dark valley. And our mattress was wet because it was in the rain. And I forgot about that. Things were bad. Things were bad. But through God's presence, after me getting over my stubbornness of just reaching out for help, I started to feel those weights start to lift off. People said, hey, can I bring you a meal? There's another weight off. Hey, I can watch Talia for a while you go to your infusion center. There's another weight. Hey, do you need help with your floor? There's another weight. Eventually, we got out of it. Eventually. And it was only through God's presence that we were able to do that. Only through God's presence we were able to do that. Second reason that God will give us more than we can handle, so we can experience God's power. I think nowadays we live in a society where it's not okay to show weakness. It's not okay to admit that you have faults. And there's this feeling that you have to handle it all by yourself. And God wants you to know he doesn't care about all that. That's not what it's like. What God says, well, what Paul says, actually, in the letter to Corinthians, it's going to be a long one, so buckle up. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That word delight takes on a whole different meaning, to delight in a weakness, right? I mean, I don't think we should maybe not go that far. I think it'd be enough for society even just to admit and acknowledge that we have our weaknesses. And when we don't, it lacks a certain authenticity when we start to admit things, cover things up, not only with each other, but with God. Because let's be honest here, God knows your weaknesses. God knows those areas. And when you shelter it, when you try to keep it hidden, it doesn't allow for God's power to flow through you. But when you're open and honest about it, when you say, here I am, Lord, here's my troubles, here's my problems, here's where I am weak, then God's power is able to flow through you. And I think this verse sums it up the best. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And when I think about my own thorn, which I kind of alluded to a little while ago, I don't ask for help. I don't. And I'm sure some of you in the audience, and nodding your head, Gretchen, yes, I know. I know some of you probably already know people who are like that, where we just won't ask for help, doesn't matter what's going on. In fact, if I had a doll with a pull string that said like a catchphrase, it'd be, it's fine, I got this. It's fine, I got this. She's nodding her head. She's like, yeah, it's okay, I can handle this. And sometimes I can't. And when I look back at all the situations, all the scenarios where I had to just, something had to give, what happened was I had to call for help. I had to get help from somewhere. It's not what I wanted to do. No, my pride wouldn't allow for that for some reason. But God knows what I need to happen. And what needed to happen was for me to put my pride aside and call for help. To call for a spotter. Now, I've given you a lot of theory. I've given you a lot of biblical. I threw a lot of Bible at you today, guys. Well, let's talk about the application a little bit. When we look at that scenario from before where I clutched Jim's shoulder there, looked him deep in his eyes, told him God won't give him more than he can handle. What if instead, I'm not going to clutch your shoulder this time, but what if instead when we listened to those things, we said, I'm really sorry that's happened to you. What does helping you look like right now? What if we offer actual help? What if we offer a spot, right? What if we offered to spot someone instead? What would that look like? That's a community that I'd like to see, and it's a community that I'd like to belong into, where we take an active role, where despite the pain, despite the mess, we live in it together as a community by relying on God's presence and God's power. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we come to you as a community with weights upon us. The weight of our daily stresses and problems. Some of us in valleys so dark we think we will never get out. We come to you openly and honestly so we may witness your presence and experience your power in the way you know we need it most. We pray that you continue to guide us to be a community who chooses to take on an active role and spot one another when the weight of our life's problems hold us down. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all who agree said,